All right. There are times that Adonai says things in Scripture that are taken in a certain way by people. And I'm not saying that they're taken wrong. They're just taken in a certain way. I'll have some examples in a little while where men will take words of Adonai, and like I said, not in a bad way. It's a good way, but maybe it doesn't capture everything that Adonai really has for us when he gives us the words. Because we don't always speak Adonai speak. We don't talk the way he does. We don't use words the same way he uses words. But sometimes we just don't connect ideas the way he connects ideas. There are times when the words given to us in Scripture have a deeper meaning, and that we don't always see them when we read them, especially when we're young believers. So when, as we mature, maybe we get some more out of it. And sometimes we just never really get to see the full picture of Adonai until that final day that we're before him. And he's going to show us everything. But now we lean and we learn from the Ruach. But sometimes our minds just can't comprehend all of it. Within this week's portion, there is what's seen as a large part of instructions showing us how to live holy lives. Many of our Bibles have that little heading at the beginning of 19 that says holy lives, living holy lives. But maybe there's really much more than that. As we read through this list of things to do, maybe there's even more to it than just the surface reading shows us. Some of the instructions seem good for our lives, and they are good for our lives. But at the same time, some of them seem just incomplete. They just seem very simple. Really? That's all it says? Okay, we move on. We have to put them into the context of words that are around them, or the book they're in this case Leviticus, or the book that's in all of Scripture, in order to really understand what it is Adonai is doing. Now, I'm not going to be going through the full text of today's portion, line by line. That's kind of what Torah for Today is for. Hint, hint, join, join. Online, online too. But I'll give you some examples as encouragement for you to not just look at a single part of Scripture when, as you're reading, as a standalone piece, but to see, look to see how it fits with all the other texts, the text that's around, the text of the whole book, so that you can see the full plan of Adonai for mankind. As much as Adonai is concerned with your everyday life, he is even more concerned about what? Your eternity. So let me start with Leviticus 19:4. Get my little clicker thingy here. I should turn it on before this, but I didn't. So Leviticus 19:4 says this: "Do not turn to idols or make molten gods for yourself. I am Adonai, your God." Seems simple, right? It says it's straightforward. Don't make any other gods, and know that I am Elohim. I am your God. Now, most of us associate this command with the commandment that we see in Exodus 20, as we should. Exodus 20, starting in verse 3. "You shall have no other gods before me. Do not make for yourself a graven image or a likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or on the earth below, or in the water under the earth. Do not bow down to them. Do not let anyone make you serve them. For I, Adonai your God, am a jealous God, bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to the thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my mitzvot. When we read these passages together, now it means something even more than just don't form a God out of clay or wood or something. It means that nothing is to come before him and nothing is equal to him. Leviticus gives us an idea, but it's not a complete full idea, really. But when we combine it with the Exodus passage, then we're getting a better, a more complete idea of what Adonai wants from us. Now, does that mean that Moses and Adonai didn't know what was written before in Exodus? No, of course not. Adonai knew all of what he wanted men to know from the very beginning. Adonai is not a small g God where he comes up with an idea and then it starts to develop and it takes form and it becomes bigger and bigger. That's not Adonai. Adonai knows things from the very beginning. He also knows the way that man's minds work, though. Therefore, he feeds us his words sometimes in a way that so that we don't choke on it all at once. It's not this huge piece that we get choked on. Because sometimes we'll get a brain overload, causing us to misunderstand what he says, or misunderstand his intent. Or sometimes we just, you know what? I'm so full, I'm just not going to think anymore. Well, that's not what he does to us. Now, unfortunately, we sometimes still can miss out on the full intent of Adonai when we read his word. This idea of layering thoughts in order to gain the full picture or greater understanding really is not uncommon, because that's what he does, is he layers thoughts. But we need to string them along. We have to understand that. We see this in the educational world today. When we send our kids to school, they don't jump right into calculus, but they learn the basics first of addition and subtraction. They learn the numbers first. Each year of a school year, they apply a new skill or new knowledge on top of what they've already learned. So they don't lose what was learned previously. They grow on top of that. If the student takes the subject seriously, there's no end to the learning and discovery of new things, although they're really just extensions of what they've already learned. Nothing that they learn is new, but actually it's just an expansion of their understanding of the world of mathematics. And the study of Scripture is the same. Each time we read through the Scriptures, and we should be always reading and rereading the Scriptures, we gain a new perspective, new information about Adonai's plan for mankind and for each of us as individuals. Think about that. He uses the same Scripture to teach individuals the overall basics of the same, but he also imparts upon us instructions for each one of us using the same Scripture. It means different things to us. The overall is still the same, but maybe we get little bits that are different. That's an amazing thing. It shows the wonder and magnitude of his word when combined with the Ruach in our lives. We each get what we need from the same word of God. We just have to be careful that basic is still the same. Maybe it tells us to go left when someone else is to go right, because that's their path, and this is your path. but it all comes from the same word. In his word, what Adonai does is gives us a principle and then expands on it. That expansion is not a changing of it, but it is a changing of our understanding of it. And if we were led by the Ruach in this expansion of the thought, then we're understanding the word in a way that's closer to the intent that he has for all eternity. An example of Adonai giving us a principle in the Tanakh and then an expansion of it in the Brit Hadashah comes from a discussion that we actually had a few weeks ago in our Torah for today, and then again during a discussion that I had this week with someone. It's regarding circumcision and the continuing usage of it today to show our devotion to Adonai's covenant with us. We know that in the Tanakh, there was an instruction about circumcision of the flesh, which is found in Genesis 17:9. God also said to Abraham, "As for you," starting in Genesis 17:9, God also said to Abram, "As for you, my covenant you must keep, you and your seed after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant that you must keep between me and you and your seed after you. All your males must be circumcised. You must be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and this will become a sign of the covenant between me and you. Also, your 8-day-olds must be circumcised, every male, throughout your generations, including your house-born slaves or a slave brought with money from any foreigner who is not of your seed. Your house-born slaves and your purchased slaves must surely be circumcised. So my covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." The instruction seems fairly clear. The males of the household must be circumcised in flesh. This is what it says as a surface reading, and it's not wrong. Adonai wants all the Jewish male children to be circumcised on the 8th day. But does Adonai really look at the flesh to see if they're in covenant with them, with him? We know that Adonai looks at the heart and the heart attitude. So later in Scripture, he tells us this in Deuteronomy 10:16, starting there. "Circumcise the foreskin of your heart, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked anymore. For Adonai your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God, who does not show partiality or take bribes." We're not even out of Torah. We're not even out of the first 5 books, and already Adonai is layering understandings of his word, if we allow him to. In the verse, he starts out by saying, "Circumcise the foreskin." Immediately, for most of us, we would be brought right back to Genesis, right? There's where it says, circumcise the foreskin. But the verse in Deuteronomy doesn't stop there. It doesn't even have a comma there. The sentence continues to say, "Circumcise the foreskin of your heart." Are we to stop and say, "But wait, hold on, Adonai. Is it my heart or the foreskin of a penis that you want circumcised? Which is it?" You know, when we circumcise the foreskin of our children, it's easy to see. But the heart, only he can see. Which one do you want? The truth is, he's layering ideas so that we can see a path that he's taking us on. Earlier, I spoke about math in elementary school, and this is the same. In school, we learn to multiply by adding the principle of addition to it. 2 times 3 is the same as 2 plus 2 plus 2. It's adding on to a principle. Now here in Scripture, we see the principle of following Adonai in circumcising the foreskin of the penis and the foreskin of the heart as being the same, similar. It's following him. So we took a step in understanding him and his plan. But that is not where Adonai left us. Now we go to the Brit Hadashah to learn the next step. And there are many places that Rav Shaul writes about this step. But today I'm going to be pulling it out of Colossians. These seven verses, starting in Colossians 2:6, these seven verses are a long passage to read out loud. I normally don't read a passage this long, but it's important to hear the steps that he's taking us through. So, Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you receive Messiah Yeshua as Lord, so continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thanksgiving. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceptions according to the tradition of men and the basic principles of the world rather than Messiah. For all the fullness of deity lives bodily in him, and in him you have been filled to fullness. He is the head over every ruler and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision done not by hand in the stripping away of the body of the flesh through the circumcision of Messiah. You were buried along with him in immersion, through which also you were also raised with him by trusting in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Shaul said to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, those who have accepted his blood as the way of having our sins atoned for, then the Ruach is written within us. Then he says that if this is the case, then we are circumcised in the Messiah, but not by the cutting of flesh, but in the heart. So that sounds a bit like what it says in Deuteronomy. But Messiah was layered in. Now, to add another layer as well, Shaul says that when this is done in our lives, then we were buried and raised again with them, which is the immersion with him. I find this particularly interesting now because we're approximately 30 days from Shavuot and our Miknik, in which we'll have an immersion with water for anyone who's interested. This will be a public proclamation of our heart being changed with and by him. What we hear is Adonai saying through Shaul that the act of accepting the covenant, which was in the flesh and is still for the Jewish-born male, is now of the heart for all, and the public display is not the lack of the foreskin. Thank you for not making us show us all that. But the act of going through the water immersion, which does not clean of either dirt or sin, but publicly displays our commitment to the commandment of Adonai. Look at the path of learning that Adonai wanted us to go on in his scriptures. He started us with the circumcision of the flesh, took us to the circumcision of the heart, then the acceptance of Yeshua, and the going forward to the immersion as a way of displaying our commitment to the commandments that is in our heart and to the world. Now, the final example of Adonai speak is going back to the portion today found in Leviticus 19. And we're going to do Leviticus 19:14. You are not to curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am Adonai. Three instructions and a statement of who Adonai is. The first instruction, don't curse the deaf. And there are those who would say, why not? They can't hear it anyway. Then the second instruction is, do not put a stumbling block in the path of the blind. And the same ones would say, why? They can't see who did it. They won't see it anyway. And the third instruction was to fear your God. So then we ask, how do we fear Adonai? Based on a simple reading of this verse, because they're all together, the way you fear Adonai is not curse the deaf or place a stumbling block before the blind. This is the way you fear Adonai and acknowledge that he's Adonai Elohim. The instruction seems simple. Don't hurt those who are disadvantaged or take advantage of them. And by this, you will show your fear of Adonai. But by now, we should be getting the idea that Adonai is looking for something deeper, looking for layers for us to learn, to build upon. We think we know who the deaf and blind are. They're easy to see. But what if Adonai had another meaning here? And I want to quickly answer three questions about this. Why did Yeshua heal? Who did Yeshua heal? And what are we to understand from the healings? Excuse me. We know that Yeshua healed many, but why did he do it? We can see an answer to the why and the who did he heal by Yeshua's own words in Luke. When John the Immerser was in jail, he sent two of the disciples to find out if Yeshua really was the one, the Messiah that they had been waiting for and looking for. Look and read what's in Luke 7, Luke 7 starting in 21. At this very hour, he was healing many diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. And he granted sight to many who were blind. And answering, these are the disciples that John sent, hey, are you the one? And answering, he said to them, go report to John what you saw and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, and those with rot are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them. In response to the question of whether he was the Messiah, Yeshua did not give a simple yes or no answer, but listed a bunch of things that he had already done in the sight of people. How is this an answer to the actual question? Because those listening would have known what the prophecy said about the coming Messiah. The prophecy that's found in Isaiah 35, starting in Isaiah 35, 4, say to those with anxious heart, be strong, have no fear, behold your God, vengeance is coming, God's recompense is coming. Then he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will sing. For water will burst forth in the desert and streams in the wilderness. The same list that the same list that Yeshua gave is what the prophet Isaiah said to look for as proof of who Messiah would be. The priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all would have not just known the prophecies, but would be looking every day to see if they were being fulfilled. As part of the list, we saw that the deaf would hear and the blind would see. And they saw it, but they did not see it. They heard the witnesses and testimonies, but they didn't actually hear what was being said. Now we look into the Tanakh to see who the deaf and blind are. We see that Adonai told Israel many times that it was them who was the deaf. It was them who was the blind. Isaiah said about Israel multiple times. Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 says this. Then he said, go, tell this people, hear without understanding and see without perceiving. Make the heart of his people fat, their ears heavy, and their eyes blind. Else they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. It's Israel that's not hearing and understanding because their ears are heavy and their eyes are blind. In another prophecy, Isaiah again said this about Israel. Excuse me. Isaiah 42:18. Hear you deaf, look you blind so that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as the one in covenant with me? Blind as Sir Adonai's servant. You have seen many things. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. You have seen many things, but you do not pay attention. Though ears are open, no one hears. So who is the blind and the deaf that both Adonai and Yeshua are alluding to? Yes, it's Israel, both blind and deaf, both now and then, hopefully not in the future. The deafness and the blindness are not just a physical disability, but a spiritual disability that causes them not to see and hear the Messiah, even when presented right before them. But Adonai can heal and bring salvation even to the spiritually deaf and blind. Now, we go back to our scripture verse in Leviticus 19:14. And remember what it said? You are not to curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am Adonai. So who did Yeshua come to heal? It's Israel. Look what it says. You are not to curse the deaf of Israel, or put a stumbling block before the blind of Israel, but you shall fear your God. I am Adonai. But was it only Israel? Look again. Build upon what we've heard about circumcision. And it is both Jew and Gentile who are to be healed and circumcised in the heart. Leviticus 19:14. You are not to curse the deaf, Jew or Gentile, or put a stumbling block before the blind, Jew or Gentile, but you shall fear your God by telling them who I am Adonai. We started out with chapter 19 with an instruction to be holy. But how? The answer is not just not to curse the deaf and make the blind stumble, but to bring the word of Adonai, of salvation by Messiah Yeshua, to the deaf and the blind, and the world who is both Jew and Gentile. Even today, our Jewish brethren are deaf and blind to the words of Torah that they've been reading for centuries. They see but do not understand. They hear but do not perceive that they are to do with the words of Adonai. Not just the Jews, not just the Jew was Yeshua sent to heal, but also the Gentiles. And you know, we're not any better sometimes. We see sometimes the words of Adonai and think, that's nice, we're to help our neighbor. But who is our neighbor? It's both the Jewish and Gentile in need of salvation. And how do we help them? Yeah, it's a physical help from the surface reading. But more importantly, it's in the spiritual by speaking the words that will eventually heal them of this spiritual disability and give them the words of life that will bring them from darkness and loss to a place of light and salvation that comes only from Messiah Yeshua. Father, we thank you for your words of how to live holy in our Torah portion today in Leviticus, but help us to see your words as you truly want them to be enacted. Help us to see the layering as we read through all of your scripture so that we would understand your plan, not just for ourselves, but for all the world. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you that you've opened our eyes. We're now asking for our even further understanding and advancement of our understanding of all of your words. Help us to put together the pieces so that we can see the full understanding, the full meaning, your desires for the world, so that we can walk them out, so that we can be the hands and feet, the mouth, your mouth, speaking the words of life to those who are lost and dying in the darkness, and bring them to a place of light and salvation through Messiah Yeshua. We thank you that you've done it for us. We thank you that you will do it for our families. And we thank you that you will do it for all of the lost and dying world. We praise you and honor you and thank you. And everyone says, amen and amen.